5 a.m., I'm up with a crisp Celsius energy drink. Running 12 miles today. Grab a green juice, quick change, and head to work. Meetings, workshops, one more Celsius, no slowing down. Working late, but obviously still meeting the girls for a little dancing. Celsius, live, fit, go. Grab a cold, refreshing Celsius at your local retailer or locate now at Celsius.com.
All right, we're back. It is another episode, Inside Boxing Live. Dan Canobio, Chris Algieri, presented by PPV.com, the worldwide leader in live pay-per-view events. This summer, we're going to be heading out all over the country, me and Chris, traveling all over. We're going to rent an RV. We're going to travel the continental USA because it's a big summer slate coming your way with Tank Roach 2. Benavidez is going to be in the mix. I'm hearing some crazy rumors about a 45-year-old former congressman from the Philippines maybe stepping back into the ring. All those fights will be on PPV.com. All those fights will have us, me and Chris, and then some other cast members joining the live stream to your phone, to your tablet, to your TV, everywhere. So PPV.com is the place to go when you want to order live pay-per-view events. Join us on those fights. Join us this week. It's here, Chris. Fight week is here. We're now full steam ahead. I'm looking out the window here in New York City to a beautiful afternoon. Will it be a beautiful night in Times Square, New York City, unprecedented? I'm talking about this triple header headlined by Ryan Garcia and Rolly Romero, with Teofimo Lopez versus Arnold Barboza, with Devin Haney versus Jose Ramirez. It's here. It's going to be one heck of a week and one heck of a fight night.
Yeah, this this card, you know, we talked about it. Like, I had even said, I kind of poo-pooed it a little bit, being like, the best part of this fight is going to be the build-up. But there hasn't been much build-up. But now that we're getting closer to fight, no. I'm actually excited the fights that are happening. Getting to see some bona fide stars of the sport back on the same night is cool. Teofimo Lopez in a bad blood grudge fight. Only title fight on the card, a true title fight. Barboza and Teofimo. Teofimo, one of the best fighters in the world. Ryan Garcia is back after his suspension, and he's fighting Rollies, which, hey, listen, Rollies is always fun. He's always in fun fights. He goes out on his shield. He's a warrior. And then you got Devin Haney's return as well. Another one who's coming back from a lengthy layoff. And he's in a tough fight. He's fighting Ramirez. I think that's probably the most competitive fight on the card. Also the one with the most kind of question marks about it. And I think that's actually going to be a pretty good fight. But so all in all, I mean, as we're getting closer, I'm actually excited about this card.
Well, you say, Chris, that there's only one bona fide title fight, right? Ryan,
yeah.
That's Teofimo Lopez. You'd be wrong. Ryan Garcia.
Bro, I said bona fide, a real world title fight. That is a bullshit WBA super whatever ding dong title. I hate this stuff, guys. It's not good for the sport. Stop making. You got Boots Ennis. That's the champion of the weight class. You're going to fight for his title? How do you do that? Boots Ennis is the guy. How do you do that?
WBA, like, Gilberto Mendoza.
That's crazy.
You know what's funny is that we don't want to start this episode off with this because it's so mind numbing.
You did it to me, Dan. You did it to me. I know. You poked the bear on that one.
Well, that's what WBA did it to us. And they decided to make Ryan Garcia versus Rolly Romero for the secondary WBA 147 belt. I'm sure a lot of fans don't even remember this.
Dan,
I know.
What
it means is that the winner will be mandated to fight Boots for some like WBA unification. I guess that's one little caveat of this, but you know what's
funny?
So
you're having it within organization, within governing body unification. How do you do that?
It's just sanctioning fees, sanctioning fees, more sanctioning fees. But
disgusting.
That fight was elevated to a secondary WBA title fight, despite neither guy fighting at 147. They're now ranked 2 and 3. And you know what's funny is that the ABC, which is the commission that's supposed to oversee the sanctioning bodies, a couple of years ago, and if you remember this, and a lot of fans remember this, why would they? Because it's such a silly thing. They told the WBA, you better clean up your act. You better clean up these belts. You better get rid of these secondary belts, or we're going to either fine you, or even worse, we're going to shut you guys down. And they were like, okay. And they were like, we'll get rid of them. Now they're back. And it's not a big part of this fight week, but it is just some foolery here that Ryan Garcia and Rolly Romero is for a world title, quote unquote.
It's a trinket belt. It's not a real title. It's ridiculous. You got a guy like Boots Ennis who's the actual champion in the weight class. Let's call it what it is. Let's call it what it is. It's a good fight. Right. Another thing is, like, how do you come off of a year long drug suspension right into a title fight? Can we water this down anymore? That's ridiculous. Come on, guys. Like,
you don't even need that. You don't need it. You don't need it. But WBA wants it. He doesn't need it. That fight doesn't need it.
Ryan is a legitimate star. Like, why do we have to attach some trinket to it that really, well, to get sanction fees?
It's going
to answer my question.
It's going to be. I agree. It's going to be a wild, wild scene. Times Square. I will be at all the events this week. Some really fun stuff coming your way. Keep it locked. It's Inside
God
Boxing.
God bless you, sir. So, I'm going to be praying for your safety.
Well, the Fight Week events are all at the same place. They're all at the Manhattan Center, 6 p.m. Eastern every night. The grand arrivals, the press conference, the weigh-in, the media workout. I like that they did that.
They're all at 6 p.m.?
6 p.m. Eastern.
That's cool. That's interesting.
I like that it's all in the same place because New York City – the one bad thing about New York City fight weeks is they'll have you going all over the place. Yeah. They'll have you. It's not easy to get around New York City. Whereas Vegas, you go to the media center, everything is there. Or you take a quick little walk to the MGM Grand Arena. Or you take a quick little walk to the T-Mobile.
Sometimes not so quick to MGM sometimes. MGM's huge. Yeah.
You get your steps in. But everything will be centrally located. I'll be there all week. Keep it locked. We have some really fun content coming your way, some announcements and all that fun stuff. But man, this is going to be a scene, bro. Times Square. I've gotten very little details on what it's going to look like. I've been told that it's going to be absolutely wild. There are no tickets on sale. There's 300 quote unquote seats for this. In turn, I heard it's going to be a heavy Saudi showing for it. I don't know who else was going to show up. I don't know if fans will be able to. There's going to be some like barricade thing like Times Square. There's talk of the fight being shown on the big screens above, which could create a really cool scene. We just don't know what it's going to look like. But when fight night comes around, I'm sure it's going to be some grandiose scene. But that's a big part of this fight week is that it's going down in Times Square, which has never been done before.
Never been done. First time. Are all the events open to the public leading up like fight week?
Yes.
So that's cool. So you're going to have an event that is going to be essentially invite only. 300 seats is very few. So it's basically essentially going to be invite only. If there's a possibility to be, you know, like I said, just walk up traffic, that's cool too. But the fact that all the press events are going to be open to the public, that at least opens up, you know, people. And that's why it's cool that it's at 6 p.m. That's probably why they're doing it, right? I mean, that would make sense. 6 p.m., people off of work, normal people can come and see the event, even though they can't actually watch the fights themselves, you know, in the seating area. So it's coming together. It's coming together. They're making it work.
What's that going to look like? It's a big storyline in this fight. It's like the fourth attraction of this fight. It's three big fights, and then the fourth attraction is, what is this going to look like?
Times Square. It's crazy. It's crazy to even think about.
I'm glad I'm not part of I talked to one of the Zone logistics guy. He looked stressed. And this was like a month ago.
I got a couple of buddies in NYPD and they were talking about this and all the like the legal formalities and the logistical nightmare of the security that's going to be involved in this and all the procedures that are supposed to be in place for this thing to happen. A lot of moving parts on this. New York City is not an easy animal to deal with.
How about it got me thinking about the most iconic open air boxing events of all time. Mm. Number one, Muhammad Ali, George Foreman, the Rumble in the Jungle. They literally fought in the jungle in 1974. Thrilla in Manila, 1975. Another outdoor event. The Concrete Jungle would be for this one. Ray Leonard, Roberto Duran, Olympic Stadium. That's still a stadium, though. This is different.
Yeah, that's not really. I mean, it's. Would you consider Yankee that stadium? Open air? Because even Ben and Eubank this past weekend, they were in a stadium that had an open.
The air is open.
The air is open. So is that technically open air? It's in a stadium.
Breathe in that New York City Times Square air.
What about Dempsey Willard? Was outdoors, right? I mean, there was a lot of fights back then that were they were all outdoors.
Dempsey versus Firpo, Polo Grounds. Joe Louis versus Max Schmeling, too, Yankee Stadium.
Nice. That's a good one. That's cool.
I was at Yankee Stadium for Miguel Cotto versus Yuri Foreman. It was one of my favorite fights I've ever been to in terms of running around the Yankee outfield as a diehard Yankee fan. I didn't even care about the fights, bro. I was sliding into second. I went into the dugout. I was in the bullpen, and then they're like, "Oh, the main event's happening." I was like, "I don't care." I was like, "I'm having the time of my life." I had an HBO.
I was upset that I didn't get on that card. That would have been a nice feather in the cap for me.
That was one of the coolest great places
I fought.
How would you? If you were on this card for Times Square, would there be any like preparation for this? Would there be anything different? Would you, or are you just looking at another? It's another ring. I'm getting in the ring and I'm fighting.
No, it's another ring. I always said that. I mean, a ring's a ring. In terms of the atmosphere, I fought outside before. Fighting outside is its own thing, but there's not really a way to prepare for it. You know, I used to train outside anyway a lot of times, so. I don't know. I don't think it'd be anything different. It's a ring, you know.
I just pulled up the weather.
Ooh,
Friday night, 70% chance of rain. 75 degrees high during the day, going down to 55 at night.
That's cold, dude.
It's May. I mean, like,
that's cold.
It doesn't really consistently. It's starting to just consistently get nice here in New York City. Like this whole week, we're looking at 75. Sunny, beautiful, 10 out of 10 weather days. But Friday, of course, we're looking at a 70% chance of rain. So I think everyone will be, obviously, the ring will be covered and the 300 dignitaries will be covered. Those people standing in the barricades, which I don't think bring a poncho.
70% chance of rain. But also, dude, 50 degrees is cold to fight. Like warming up, walking to the ring, like...
That's what when I heard this, I was kind of shocked because like outdoor fight, like Cotto Formid, that was July. It was sweltering that night. Some other outdoor
fights. I fought
outside.
They were summer fights. I fought twice outside. They were both right. In the summer.
I remember Coney Island. I went to Amanda Serrano, Heather Hardy, Coney Island one, which was like half closed, half open, right on the beach. Really cool venue. Summer. Like May is pushing it, but. Mm-hmm. Not our problem. we'll see about that. Let's get into the fights. Well, first, I'm going to ask you some questions here since it's a podcast, and I usually do ask you the questions. And also, this is a big card. So Ryan Garcia, main event. May 2nd, Times Square. Which fight will be the most competitive?
I mean, competitive probably will be Barboza and Teofimo Lopez. Because just because the way their styles match up, Barboza is very good at slowing people down. He's a counter fighter. He moves and fights from the outside. He boxes. Teofimo generally has trouble with guys like that, especially guys who have good jabs. And Barboza's jab is pretty good. So that's going to be like a pretty nip tuck fight that I don't think is going to be all that exciting. So in terms of competitiveness, that'll probably be the most competitive. Most question marks are going to be Devin Haveney and Ramirez, because there's a lot of talk about, Mikey Garcia went out and said, Devin Haney picked the wrong guy. If you're coming back off a long layoff and a fight that you've been hurt, don't fight a puncher. Ramirez is a puncher. So there is that question. What's going to happen with Devin Haney's chin when he fights a guy who legitimately has a good left hand and a good left jab and a good left hook? So that's going to be the most questionable. But I think the most fun is definitely going to be the Rolly and Ryan Garcia fight. But the most competitive, I think, is going to be Barboza and Tio.
Who is most likely to pull off the upset? The underdogs are Barboza, Ramirez, and Rolly.
Barboza. Again, because of the style matchup.
Closest line.
Very, very tough style for Teofimo Lopez.
Barboza is a plus 180 underdog in this fight. That's the closest, most competitive in terms of the odds. Who will steal the show? Jim Lampley, maybe? He's calling the fight.
Possibly the weather. Possibly the weather.
Elmo dressed up.
If it's going to rain, might steal the show. Stealing the show. No, I think the main event's going to be, it's going to be fireworks. Both those guys are coming to bang and throw bombs. And I think their styles actually match up for a pretty exciting fight.
Will someone pee themselves in the crowd?
The card's not that long, so probably not. If I'm an announcer and I can call an entire card and not pee myself, then these people will be all right. It's a four fight card.
Well, you know, on New Year's Eve, when all these people show up, there's no bathrooms.
Yeah, because they show up at 8 p.m. and they're there till 1 a.m. and they're drinking booze the whole time.
They show up way before that. They show up at like 5 a.m. No bathrooms. I think some of them are wearing adult diapers. Do you think some super hardcore fans that show up for this if there is like a standing room for some people, could, I mean, it's not, won't be the first person to pee themselves in Times Square.
No, won't be the last either.
That's right. All right, let's get into the fights. Let's break them down. Let's start off with Devin Haney versus Jose Ramirez. Big fight because of Devin Haney. This is a lightning rod in the boxing world. It's his first fight in over a year. His last fight was a highly controversial fight with Ryan Garcia, which saw him bruised, battered all over that ring, eventually turned into a no contest lawsuits. Questions about his chin, questions about his toughness, questions about is this fighter shot at age 26? A lot of questions for Devin Haney heading this fight versus a puncher, rugged. By Devin Haney's own words, is how he described Jose Ramirez, who is 3-2 in his over his last five. But man, we're talking about a former unified champion at 140. This fight is at 144 pounds catch weight, which I don't know who. I think that benefits Jose Ramirez, but this is about Devin Haney and how is he going to look in this fight?
Yeah, absolutely. And listen, they're talking about Haney being shot at 26. I don't think that's the case. Yes, he took some damage, some serious damage in that fight versus Ryan Garcia, but he's young. So many guys have come back from really bad beatings, especially early on. And the beating wasn't that bad. It wasn't that prolonged. It wasn't like Ryan didn't throw any punches. I mean, when he threw, he hurt him, sure. But it wasn't like he took a 12-round beating. And he'll be able to recover, I believe. But the issue is, listen, Ramirez can punch. And he's talented. You know, he's a former Olympian. He's a legitimate world champion in a very good weight class when the weight class was super hot. The guy has a good jab. He's got a good left hook. You know, unless Devin Haney has fixed some of those technical issues that gave him issues with Ryan in that first fight, then, you know, which the left hook was the problem. He wasn't keeping that hand up, and he's getting caught with that left hook over and over again. If Ramirez lands that shot, is Haney's shin going to hold up? That's really the question of this fight. But in terms of, you know, the competitiveness of this fight, from what I saw against Barboza, Ramirez's legs are just not the same. He wasn't moving the ring around the ring the same way. He looked, I want to say shot, but his legs were definitely weakened. Maybe that's from the weight. Maybe he'll be better here at 144. But I believe that Team Haney saw that fight and they're like, oh, this guy can be outboxed. He doesn't have the feet anymore, which very well may be true. Devin Haney, when he's on his A game, he's got good legs, he's got good jab, and he's got fantastic endurance. So he'll be out there pumping that jab, fighting from the outside, and really just outboxing Ramirez.
I think all eyes are going to be on Haney. I don't think he shot at 26. You're right. That's crazy. Can't unsee some of those lefts, hooks that Ryan Garcia landed. I mean, that tested his chin. You know, it became a big talking point in the press conference leading up to this fight where he actually took big time offense to it, the Haney's, when Todd Grisham, our friend, said, you know, there were people out there that say you're chinny. There are people that say you have no chin. And he's like, well, I got up every time. And I made it to the 12th round of that fight with Ryan Garcia. But heading into that Ryan Garcia fight, the knock on Haney was, is that you can get to that chin. I mean, Linares did it, had him wobbling back to the corner. He is susceptible to those shots. But in the Ryan Garcia fight is when we really saw it, when we saw him, you know, on the canvas staggering around. Props to him for getting up and finishing that fight, a closer fight than many thought it was originally on fight night. But all odds will be on Haney. And I think it's calculated. His whole career.
Yes.
Was calculated. I thought they made some big time mistakes in the Ryan Garcia lead up and how they handled that.
His whole career has been masterfully handled except for the Ryan Garcia fight, literally right. Everything before and after. Yeah.
Is that, I mean, that could, you know, as you know, Chris, like one bad decision, it could snowball in boxing. Like you're not getting back on track. You're not, you know, it's not baseball or where you're just, you get a new roster. You sign a few new free agents and you get back on track like the Yankees. Like, oh, a bad decision. Like, I wonder if he's questioning his team. I'm just thinking about all the variables for Haney because that wasn't just like a loss. I mean, it wasn't no contest. That wasn't just a loss in which he was knocked down five or six times. I mean, he had to be questioning some things about his career for the first time. And now we're going to see him for the first time in the ring.
Listen, Manny Pacquiao dropped me a whole bunch of times when we fought. My very next fight was Amir Khan, a guy who could punch, a guy with fast hands, a very, very tough guy, a guy that I was a big underdog against. So it's not unheard of. And, you know, thinking I went from Ruslan where I got hurt and I got dropped, I broke my orbital, and then Pacquiao, I got dropped a bunch of times. And then going into the Khan fight, be like, oh, Chris is shot. Khan didn't drop me. Khan didn't hurt me at all. He landed a bunch of good shots. He's a good puncher. Yeah, it's listen, when you're young and do everything right and you believe in your abilities, a lot of that is just up here and here, just believing in yourself. If Devin Haney has that belief, I have no issue with him coming back the way that he is. Listen, tip my hat to him. He's fighting a tough guy. He's not coming back with an easy pick'em fight. You know, Ramirez is a respectable opponent. But Haney at his best, he should win. From what I've seen from Ramirez in his recent form, Haney should win this fight.
Right, he should win. He's the favorite. And we're living in a new world, guys. This is a new era of boxing. And I hope everyone can understand it, because years past, Devin Haney would have fought a no-hoper. He would have fought a guy just to get back.
37 years old and, you know, coming off the right? couch with an injury. Yeah.
But you can't do that now, especially what you want to make the big bucks. I'm sure he's getting paid handsomely for this fight. And this is the name they put forward. This is the name Turkey and put forward, Jose Ramirez. And this, if you want to make the big bucks, this is who you're going to have to fight. And it's a perfect get-back fight for Devin Haney to gain respect. I'm rooting for him. You know, we were always going to pull for him, for all fighters. But, you know,
I like both those guys. I like Ramirez as well.
Right. And we need Haney for the sake of the sport. Like, he's 26 years old. He has some huge fights ahead of him. He has the Ryan Garcia rematch ahead of him.
I feel like we're walking around that issue. Like, they're both on the same card. This is a big deal. Like, we haven't even mentioned that yet, but that's a because major part of this card.
They're not. I thought they were going to build that up more. Because of Ryan. Ryan, we'll talk about him in a second. Like, he's on his best behavior. He's different.
He's been quiet. He's never usually quiet. He's been very quiet.
I don't know if that's an act or not. I'll ask you later. But like Ryan, I was expecting more of that. But maybe they just want to get through this. I feel like Turkey's been burned in the past in terms of talking about big fights down the line and then the plans getting disrupted because of upsets and all that. But, you know, they are scheduled for a rematch, Haney and Ryan Garcia, in October, supposedly in Saudi Arabia. Devin Haney's last five fights, he has the no decision. No contest to Ryan Garcia. He had the unanimous decision win over Regis Prograe, where Prograe landed under 50 punches in that fight. The Lomachenko fight, highly controversial. The 24 rounds with George Gambosos, where he won maybe 23, 22 of them. And then a Joseph Diaz unanimous decision win. For Jose Carlos Ramirez, the UD loss to Barboza. He had the unanimous decision win against Bartholomew and Comey. He had a UD win over Pedraza. And then you go back to 2022. He had the unanimous decision loss to Josh Taylor, which was a undisputed fight at 140 pounds. So
he stopped some Comey, names. Though, right?
KO, yeah, Comey? Sorry. He stopped Comey.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was in 2023. Did not look good, Ramirez, in the Barboza fight. You're like, I agree with you. Looked like a... My knock on Ramirez always was he just didn't have that second gear. Like in the Taylor fight, I felt like it was up for grabs, and he could have, if he would have stepped on the gas late rounds, he could have maybe won that fight. He just doesn't have that killer instinct, I don't feel like. And now we're seeing, as he's 32 years old, which isn't old in life, but it's old in the ring, we're seeing a guy that isn't pulling the trigger like he once did, still has the power. I think that's what Ramirez has gone from.
Yeah, he's very workmanlike the way that he is. He's a kind of like bring your lunch pail to work kind of guy. Hard jabs, hooks, get close to you. I'm going to rip the body shots. Looks for the right hand here and there, but just those, you know, pretty simple fundamental combinations. Good fundamental fighter. But just, you know, guys with good boxing abilities that can stay away from him would give him trouble. But the footwork, man, he just seems like he's gotten slower on his footwork. Heavy plotting, you know, heavy front foot fighter. And you're right, you know, being able to change up those gears, that's a big part about being a really talented high-level guy. And Ramirez has been a very talented high-level guy, but in recent form, it just doesn't seem like he's able to reach that next gear to get the wins over these guys. You know, the Barboza fight was really telling. I couldn't believe that Barboza was able to handle Ramirez the way that he did.
Right. Let's go to the DraftKings betting odds here. Devin Haney, -1200 favorite. I'm kind of shocked by that. Jose Ramirez is +700 underdog.
People really think Ramirez is a shot.
Yes,
they
do.
At least Vegas does.
Haney stoppage, +450. Ramirez has never been stopped. Haney, not known for his shots. That number is, I'm kind of looking at that only because, like, I cannot see this happening, but a late stoppage or like a barrage, or Ramirez doesn't look good, Haney steps on the gas, maybe. I don't think so. Haney by decision, -390. And then crazy numbers here for Ramirez decision plus 2,000, Ramirez stoppage plus 1,100. So Vegas doesn't give Ramirez a chance. They don't think he can punch. They don't think Haney could punch. What they think is Haney decision, who's going to probably play it safe.
Well, if you're banking on Haney's chin being checked and maybe, quote unquote, he is a shot fighter, that plus 1,100 is a risky bet, but it's, you know, it's there.
That's a lot. I know. That's something to sprinkle on, like $100.
It's a big
number. Huge number. These are, I mean, that's a, they don't think much of Ramirez's power or his
Vegas, dude. Vegas is tricky though, man. They got plants in gyms. They see guys sparring. They watch. They visit camps. Like, some of these numbers come out and you're like, this doesn't make sense. And then exactly what Vegas said happens, and you're like, ah, somebody knows something. I'm wondering what the reports of Ramirez's camp has been like.
Prediction time for this one. I like Haney by decision. I'm not going to touch any of these, the numbers here. Just too wide. But Haney, I think Haney will come out, box, and do what he's done in previous fights, make Ramirez kind of look silly at times, and cruise to a unanimous decision.
Yeah, I think Haney's going to go out there and actually look good, like really good. And I got the same thing, Haney by decision.
All right, let's move on to what I think is the most competitive fight of the night. Teofimo Lopez versus Arnold Barboza. This is for Teofimo's 140-pound championship, WBO. Barboza's been the mandatory for years and years and years. These two don't like each other. They've been carrying the promotion. Teofimo Lopez in the ring for the first time since the Claggett fight all the way back in June because of just politics, because bickering with his promoter. Now he's on a big card. You know, he's been asking for that, Teofimo. I want to be on, you know, I'm a star. Put me on the, this is his first time fighting on a Riyadh card, first time fighting on a Ring Magazine card. And he, up and down performances from Teofimo over the years, usually fights down to his opponent's level, does not.
Or up to his opponent's level.
Right. Good point.
Lomachenko and Taylor, he fought fantastic.
Of course. Barboza is tricky. Barboza is riding high. Barboza is on a, has a lot of momentum, but not a lot of power, and is going to look to slow this fight down. I think it's a very competitive fight, and I'm really looking forward to this one.
Barboza likes fights fought at a snail's pace, and he doesn't care if he wins by an inch or a mile. He will go out there and he will win every round by a sliver. Doesn't matter to him. He's just going to go out there. He's a very, very, very tricky, cagey guy out there. Doesn't take risks. Doesn't put himself out there. Doesn't have the killer instinct, especially in recent years when he stepped up in class. You know, he used to have some good knockouts early on, and then he's gotten really away from that. Just works behind the jab, fights off his back foot, a lot of lateral movement. And those guys generally give Teofimo trouble. Teofimo is a super athletic counterpuncher who's really good at pulling the trigger, and he's super twitchy and reactive. But when he leads, he lacks like a fundamental jab. He lacks the footwork to close the distance and keep his balance underneath him. He walks into some shots sometimes because he fights from that stance where his hands are not really in position. And like I said, he doesn't have a consistent fundamental jab. He's much more of a bait you with his jab and look for to rip those shoulder rolls and movements and fire off the catch and shoots. So these kind of fights, this is why when you said before earlier, he fights down to the level of his competition. But if you look at those guys, those are all counter fighters. Sandro Martin's he's not going to come at you. Sandro Martin is going to be a counter puncher. He's going to set traps. He's a very tricky guy to deal with anyway. Jermaine Ortiz, another guy, he's not going to come at you. He wasn't walking Teofimo down. He was moving all night, similar to how Barboza is going to be. So if I'm Teofimo Lopez, you got to look at that Jermaine Ortiz fight and be like, all right, I got to figure out how to close the gap on this guy, get behind my jab, and walk him into some big shots, because Barboza is really tricky on the outside, man. This is going to be one of those fights where you're going to be like waiting for something to happen. I don't think a whole lot's going to happen, but it's going to come down to very, very narrow margins. And that's like what you said. This is why this is the most competitive fight on the card.
Narrow margins is the name of the game for Arnold Barboza. Like, I don't think that would ever be his nickname. Arnold Narrow Margins Barboza. And that's what he is, man.
By an inch or a mile, I'm going to win.
All his fights are so narrow. Razor thin. Like, I can't, like, even the McComb fight that we were live for.
He lost that fight. Let's be honest. Yeah.
He did not look good in that one. He had a UD win his last five. I'll go over it right now. He has the Catterall split decision, which was razor thin.
I forgot about that. That's a good win.
He has that in February. February of this year, he beat Catterall over on his soil. Catterall a little bit shot, but still got the split decision win. UD win over Ramirez, who's on this card. the split decision win to Sean McComb. He beat Najoni. He fought Pedraza and Zarilla back in 2022. He's been active. Well, those are his last five, but it's just razor thin. He'll slow the pace down. He doesn't care how he wins, as long as he gets his hand raised and he's undefeated. Now you go over to Teofimo Lopez's last fight. The Claggett fight was all the way back in June, where
I can't believe that was his last fight.
Did you call that one?
I did. I did. I called that for ESPN.
Claggett. I mean, they threw a million punches. Yep. Claggett. Yeah, Teofimo.
Like it always does. But Teofimo all threw him. Like he fought his fight, and I thought Teofimo looked good that night.
Yeah, I thought they, you know, you're going to put a guy in front of me that's going to come forward. I'm going to show you guys what I can do. The Ortiz fight, the Taylor win, the Sandor Martin win, the Campa win, the Cambosos loss. I don't know, man. It always comes down to Teofimo. It always comes down to the mindset. I got to take a look at him this week. Look him in the eyes. See how he's feeling. Ask around his team. Like you always say that this guy operates best when there's chaos. You can, I mean, it's not a sustainable. I don't think that's sustainable in boxing. You can't have every training camp be absolutely insane. But, you know, there's a lot of big fights ahead of him. I hope he's not overlooking Barboza. I don't think he is. But, you know, there's talk about him hopping in there with boots. There's talk about he's now in line with Turkey. He, if of all the fighters, I feel like he is the most, like, he's always tweeting at Turkey. Like, he's really riding with this Ring Magazine partnership this Riyadh season, because the guys, let's be honest, he's desperate for big fights. After 2020, and after he beat Lomachenko, he was riding so high, and I think that he thought he was going to be the next Canelo. Obviously, the Cambosos loss and the failed purse bid there and everything that went on there. I mean, you can make a case that after that fight against Lomachenko, like, things have not gone the way that Teofimo wanted them to go. But now at age 27, with Riyadh season and Ring Magazine and some future mega fights for him. I mean, that is a storyline in this fight too, is will he overlook someone like Barboza?
Well, Dan, with Teofimo, if you go talent for dollar, he is one of the most talented, least paid fighters in the world. Because yep. he's one of those guys where, again, you remove that Cambosos fight, you're talking about this guy's top 5 pound for pound. Like, he had such a bad night, and you can't forget that because obviously it happened. And the way that Cambosos has looked ever since really just really puts a bad taste in your mouth for Teofimo in terms of his overall ability. But when you watch him at his best, the guy can beat almost anybody in the world at any given time. He's so talented. And he's been chasing that money. So this Turkey situation makes a lot of sense. That's why he's tweeting at him. He's taking the bull by the horns, so to speak. And he's like, oh, there's money out here for me now. I can finally match my talent with some dollars. So I understand where he's coming from. He's getting this alignment, trying to get that paper, get that, you know, those big fights that he wants. Listen, the kid deserves it. He is a phenomenal talent. You know, and he gets eyes, so he's got to get past Barboza though, and it's not an easy fight.
No, let's go to the numbers, the odds. Teofimo -225 favorite, Barboza very live dog at +180. Teofimo by knockout +400. Teofimo by decision -115. To go the distance, yes, -390. No, +265. Interesting lines here. Barboza's tough. I don't see a knockout here. Teofimo hasn't shown that power, hasn't flashed that power.
Not at 140. And Barboza's a big 40 pounder.
Right. Teo by decision at -115 is probably your best bet if you do want to throw down on this one. I mean, that's what I think is going to happen in this fight. I think Teo will win a decision. I think he's taking it very serious. He knows what's out there. He knows that this is like a lifeline for his career right now. And I just think he's better than Barboza. I just think he's better. So Teo by decision, -115.
What's Barboza's line for decision win?
Well, I know Barboza for money line is +180. Barboza by decision, I can pull that up right now. But obviously Barboza is the underdog in this one.
Yeah, this fight's going 12. This is going the distance. This is neither one of these guys. Barboza is not really a puncher. Teofimo Lopez is Teofimo Lopez, but he hasn't shown that power at 140. And Barboza is a big 40 pounder, and like you said, he's a tough guy. We are going to see 12 rounds of this fight.
Barboza by decision +260.
Yeah, if you were gonna take a risky bet and looking for an underdog on top, and this would be the one. If you're looking for an upset, this would be the one. But I don't see it. I agree with you, Dan. I think Teofimo Lopez is the better fighter. I think he understands he's on the precipice of some major, major fights, all the things that he actually wants. And he's taking this fight very, very seriously. He looks to be in phenomenal shape, by the way. He's actually training here down in Florida. One of my guys from the gym was going to spar with Teofimo for his last sparring this week. And the kid's in shape. So I go with you. I'm saying Teofimo by decision.
Yeah, the Teofimo decision is my prediction, minus 115. It's kind of funny they have Barboza by decision bigger than Barboza money line. Like, he's not stopping Teofimo.
No. Nope.
So if you're gonna bet, like, this is the most competitive fight. This is the most likely for an upset. And if you're gonna pick upset winner and you wanna go with Barboza, do it by decision. Which is bigger number.
You know what's funny? It's the most competitive fight, but also probably the least entertaining fight.
Yeah, I wonder if this will be the first fight of the night. I think Teofimo even asked. I saw him on social media asking. Like, I wonder if this will be the... I know Ryan Rowley is the main event.
Right. But Teofimo asked to be first?
No, I just think he asked in general. Oh. Like, when am I fighting? Like, he even knew.
It's kind of funny.
When's the last time any of these guys weren't in main events?
Yeah, that's true.
It's only three fights in this card too. There's a fourth with this Japanese phenom that they signed, but I believe that's off air. Could be wrong there, but there's only three main fights, and I don't know who's first. I haven't figured that out. I'll try to get an answer on that. But yeah, I'm going with Teofimo.
And then, in my mind, I see it as Haney Ramirez, Teofimo Barboza, and then Ryan Rollies, but I don't know. That's just when I think of this card, that's what I think of. I haven't heard that. I'm not getting that from anywhere. It's just that's picking that out of my brain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Teofimo will get his hand raised, and then we start thinking about what's next. I think he's going to be salivating after that win. Boots is being floated. Could he leapfrog the Ryan Rolly situation? Probably not, but I know he wants one of those guys. Could he go up to 147, test the waters there? Could he welcome Shakur Stevenson to hop up? I mean, there's endless possibilities now in the current world we're in, but he's got to get past Barboza. All right, main event. Ryan Garcia is back, and he's taking on Rolly Romero. Ryan served his PED suspension almost a year since he was last in the ring in New York City again. This time he'll be fighting in Times Square, not Barclays Center, taking on an enemy of his, taking on a mortal enemy of his, in Rolly Romero, who is 29 years old, not a kid anymore. I thought I was shocked to see that with Rolly, but all eyes will be on Ryan Garcia. I think he's one of the three or four biggest names in boxing. He's going to be fighting in Times Square, main event. Like it or not, Ryan Garcia is back, and he's the main event for a reason. All eyes will be on to see what he looks like, and just curiosity is going to be why people will tune in to watch Ryan Garcia.
Oh, Ryan's a lightning rod for a lot of reasons, some good, some bad. But at the end of the day, if you're a fan of boxing, you're happy he's back. I'm happy he's back. I like when Ryan fights. He has an exciting fight. He's an exciting style. He hits hard. He goes for knockouts. He's been knocked out himself. He gets hurt himself. So he is an entertaining fighter in the ring, but he's also entertaining outside of the ring. He's good in the press conference. He's a very good talker. He's good when he's tweeting. He is a lightning bolt in this sport, a lightning rod in this sport. Generates a ton of eyes and a ton of money. So there's always that. But I know this. I like this matchup, but I missed all the buildup. I wanted to see these guys interacting. I just watched a video where Rolly's was saying something, Rolly's the best worst trash talker in the world. It's hilarious when he does it. Doesn't really make sense half the time, but it's still very, very funny and entertaining and tends to get underneath people's skins. And Ryan's just looking, I'm like, dude, that's weird. What are you saying? It was just very, very, very
That's kind of funny because that was Ryan last year. Like with Haney. It was Ryan that was saying all the weird
things. Haney
was the one like, what are you saying, man? Yeah, it's going to pick up this week. We're recording this early in the week. They're going to get on the stage. We're closer to the fight. I'm expecting more fireworks. But Ryan is, we're always looking at him and what's he going to say next. He's been on a way different wavelength than the leader for the Haney. Talk about like the chaos with Teofimo Lopez heading into his fight weeks. they were talking about stopping that fight. They were talking about, you know, him going into psychiatric wards. That was one of the craziest fight buildups I've ever been a part of and I've ever witnessed. And I don't think that could be replicated. Ryan will tell you that he was going through a manic situation. He seems like a totally different guy now. And I don't know if I'm 100% buying it.
Well, it depends which Ryan you ask. Sometimes he says he put on an Academy Award winning acting role, and he did that on purpose to trick everyone. And then sometimes he says he was in a manic depressive state.
I think it was
going through a lot of psychological issues and also drinking a lot, using a lot of substances. So yeah, it's probably a little bit from column A, a little bit from column B. But again, it depends on which version of Ryan you ask or you get that day when you talk to him.
Right. I think he's been very behaved. He's been very low key. He says he learned his from the Haney fight. He learned from the mistakes he made in that one. He's not drinking leading up to the fight. He said he was drinking maybe even the night before the fight, not smoking, all that stuff. But I don't know. Like we were all expecting. I obviously want him to be mentally healthy, and I wouldn't want that for anyone. It was very entertaining, as I'm sure a lot of fans were into that Haney buildup. But I don't know if he needs that. Like, can Ryan go in there and do what he does?
I also don't think, Dan, that was sustainable. You can't do that every time.
No, you can't do that.
For one, it's not like physiologically sustainable, psychologically sustainable. But also, I think people would get bored of that too. If it was like that every single time, it'd be like, all right, dude, this is a shtick now. It's not as cool. Like that time, we were really questioning, like, is this guy losing his mind in front of us, or like, what is this? So that made it a lot more real and genuine. If it was like that every time, it wouldn't be the same. But my point is that we just had Eubank Ben this past weekend. The buildup to that fight. Granted, because of their background, their, you know, their history, their father's history, it warranted all that. But like, how many interviews were there of these guys constantly just berating us on our social media? This card should have been like that. I think there's so many characters and so many personalities on this card, especially ones that don't rub with each other well at all. Haney and Tio, Haney and Ryan, Ryan and Tio. Like, you had all these guys who are all lightning rods and will all fight with each other. And then Rollies will fight with anybody. Like, he'll argue with anybody. And I think it's a missed opportunity in terms of promoting this card, which is such a big card. It's in Times Square. It's in New York City. It's Riyadh's first attempt at a fight, a Ring Magazine's first event in the States. So I don't know. I think they just really missed an opportunity with the characters that they had on the bill, not putting them at each other's throats for the last couple weeks.
Yeah. I don't know what happened. I don't know. I don't have a good read on that. I think
you think they were just focused on Ben and Eubank?
Could be. I think the fighters just didn't participate. Like Ryan Garcia, best behavior or over his last incident. Rolly wasn't the same Rolly in the lead up to this. We're not looking at the Rolly that we saw in the tank lead up. And that's because he's older. He's 29 years old. He's not a kid anymore.
Is he because he's older? Or has it been beaten out of him a bit?
Both.
I watched that Cruz fight back recently. I mean, that was a rough night.
Been through the ringer. Look at the last five fights for Rolly. The Manuel James win, which came in September. The Isaac Cruz was just a beatdown. He just was concussed. That was bad. The Ismael Barroso, he was down in that fight and gets a, you know, get out of jail free card from Tony Weeks. He should have lost that fight. Jawatha Davis is where it all begins and all ends for Rolly. Hasn't been the same since that brutal knockout loss. Anthony Yidgett win, Avery Sparrow win. But I mean, you can't knock the guy. He fights everyone. I mean, he's fought Tank Davis. He's fought Isaac Cruz, Barroso, who could punch. And now he's going to be fighting Ryan Garcia, he's giving up height. He's giving up reach. It's good tough.
Points. A lot of punchers in a row. That's tough. That takes a lot out of you. But I will always say this about Rollies, and I respect it because he always tries to win. In the Cruz fight, I watched that back recently. Yes, he got beat up the whole time, but yo, he was trying to win. Even at the end, he was throwing punches with Cruz. He was using his lateral movement to try and make Cruz chase him. He's trying to make a miss, trying to punch him in between. The guy tries to win. He's not going to roll over. So I do respect him for that. And he's fought super tough guys, and they're all punchers. But again, he's got another really tough guy in front of him who is a puncher in a brand new weight class. This is his third weight class in, what, five fights? I mean, you just said his last five. One of those is at 35. Yeah.
Yeah, Devonta was at 35. Barroso was 140. Now we're at 147, where he says he's way more comfortable.
three weight classes in five fights. That's a lot. And they're all punchers. So we'll see. We'll see what Rolly's has left. But I'll tell you this right now. If he does go down, he's going to go down punching.
Yeah, it's going to be spectacular, this fight, in terms of the how it's going to end. For Ryan Garcia, he has the no decision fight with Devin Haney, where he looked really good. Oscar Dworkin.
Did he, though? Did he look really good?
Yeah, man. He dropped him numerous
times.
Did
he look really good? I don't know. I watched that fight again recently. He did not look very good. He threw like 17 punches around.
When he looked good, he looked good. When he looked good, he looked
flashes.
Good.
Flashes.
Right, that's how he fights. We'll get to that. So he fights in spurts. He does not fight for 3 minutes. Oscar Duarte, KO win. Javonta Davis, win, KO
especially
loss.
Especially in hindsight.
Fortuna, knockout. To go, decision. Luke Campbell, he came off the canvas. That was all the way to 2021. That was a long, long time ago. That was a COVID fight. Ryan Garcia, yeah, lightning rod. We don't know what he's going to look like. 147 this fight is at. I mean, is that going to be a tough weight for him to make, even if he's moving, quote unquote, moving up, because he's huge? Like, I think this guy can fight a middleweight.
I've seen some photos of him lately. I was like, how's this weight cut going to go? 47 is not going to be, I don't think that's going to be a walk in the park. He's going to make the weight, but like, I don't think that's going to be a cut.
Has he ever made weight? He made way for the Javonta fight because there was so much money involved, and he made the rehydration clause. Every fight of his, they at the last minute, they either move the weight or he doesn't make the weight. The Haney fight, most famously, came in 143. This one's at 147.
I think he has PTSD from that Tank Davis weight cut. That can change your whole mindset about making weight.
I've watched some videos like social media came up. He looked like a different human.
Yes, completely different guy. Like, he looks like he aged 10 years. He looks like he gained 50 pounds. Completely different guy.
That the weight is an issue here with him. So when he gets on the scale, it's always a problem with Ryan Garcia. There is this cockamamie WBA title on the line, which is ridiculous. But we'll see with Ryan. The thing with him is when he looks great, he looks great. That left hook is one of the best punches in all of boxing. But he takes rounds off. His gas tank is questionable. His defense is questionable. His technique is questionable. It sounds like I'm explaining Rolly Romero, but no, I'm explaining Ryan Garcia. Like, both these guys have big time deficiencies. Both these guys have made glaring mistakes in there, but they have power and they have charisma, or they did. We'll see this week in the lead up. But with Ryan Garcia, it's like, all right, man, you did your suspension. This is your second chance. You're still one of the biggest names in boxing. I expect him to get a knockout win here. But I don't know. Are we going to learn a lot about Ryan if he knocks out Rolly inside of four rounds?
Yes. Because
it's the same old.
No, as long as he makes weight and shows up and actually comes out there and looks focused, yes, we'll learn a lot. Because the out of the ring stuff is even more so questionable than the in-the-ring stuff. We know what Ryan is. We know what Ryan can do in the ring. Ryan has a lot of talent, but physical gifts. Like you said, one of the best left hooks in the game, like super fast, powerful. He has a killer instinct. And he's a very good counterpuncher because he's able to pull the trigger with that quick speed and his ability to judge distance. So, yeah, everything he can do in the ring, you know, we know what he can do, but it's the out-of-the-ring stuff. So if he can get to this fight, get in there, do what he's supposed to do with relative ease on the way there in terms of, you know, making the weight, showing up on time, doing all those different things, then yeah, we'll have some answers about him, how seriously he's taken his career.
It seems like he's taking it very serious. The weight's going to be the main thing. The weight is going to be huge. If he steps on that scale, 147, I think that, which is just like rule, like job number one for you fighters is make the weight. And for the most part, fighters do. But with Ryan, I think he's going to get like a pat on the back. If he comes in at 147, it's like, great work, man. And so I can just see Oscar right now. Like, he's hungry. He's ready. 147. Like, bang, you know, like, I think a lot of, that's going to be a big point in this fight. But we'll go to the numbers, the odds. Ryan Garcia minus 900 favorite. Rolly plus 550. Ryan by knockout. I mean, it's very rare you see a number this big. Minus 350. Vegas is believes that Ryan Garcia will stop Rolly Romero. Ryan decision plus 500. Rolly stoppage, I think that's his only chance, is plus 800. Rolly decision plus 1800. Over under is set at 6.5 rounds. There's a lot of talk out there that Ryan will stop this guy inside of four. I do think there will be a stoppage. I do think it will be Ryan Garcia. you're gonna have, if you're gonna bet Ryan stoppage, which I think is the most likely outcome here, you're gonna want to get into the round betting. You're gonna want to get into the group betting, 1 through 4, 1 through 6, which is plus money. But I'd be shocked if this is not a stoppage for Ryan Garcia.
I got Ryan in 4. Under 4.
Ryan in the 4th round or inside of 4?
Inside of 4. It could be round 2, honestly. I think as soon as he lands that left hook, I don't think the first one gets Rollies out of there, but Rollies is a warrior and he's going to go out and fight on his shield, but that next one is going to get him. Ryan's left hook is serious and Rollies has a susceptibility to left hands.
This is going to be bad.
Yeah, Cruz and Tank both knocked him out with left hands and hurt him multiple times with left hands. So, the way they match up from the size, the height, the deficiencies, it just seems like everything is tailor-made for Ryan Garcia. So I see this ending early.
This is the fight. I was clamoring for this fight. I saw a video I posted in like 2022 or late 2022. I wanted Ryan Rolly after Ryan Tank. Because I was like, yes, this just makes sense. But it doesn't make a ton of sense now because we've seen what Rolly has just had a string of losses and been knocked out. And Ryan is huge and Rolly isn't that big. But it's still a good comeback fight. It's an entertaining main event.
It'll be a shootout for as long as it lasts. Yeah. No, it's good. I'm not knocking this fight at all. I'm looking forward to this one.
Ryan Garcia to win in rounds 1 through 3, plus 380. Garcia to win in rounds 4 through 6. Plus 250. Ryan in rounds 1 through 6, plus 130. Those numbers are usually way higher. Ryan in the second half of the fight, plus 180. We got actual rounds. Could pull a Tank here and get the prediction. I'll have to ask Ryan this week. Do you think if Ryan scores a highlight reel stoppage, do you think they'll bring Haney into the ring? And then we got I can just see it right now, and then just going at it. Yeah, jawing at each other.
As long as Haney wins, yeah.
Of course,
yes. Why not? I mean, that would make sense. I'm curious to see what Ryan does if he gets that highlight reel knockout and he's all juiced up. Who is he going to call out? Is he going to call out Haney?
Was that a play on words?
No, okay, sorry. Wrong terms, guys. sorry.
Juiced up.
that's a hot button word in this situation.
But well, that's a question I want to ask you. I'm glad you said that.
He's all jazzed up from a highlight reel KO. Who does he call out? Does he call out Boots? Does he call out Haney? Does he call out T.O.?
Oh, with Haney.
I mean, you would think, but I don't know. He's going to be mandatory for the WBA champion, Boots Ennis.
Right. I know. That's stupid.
That's a big money fight.
They should bring Haney into the ring because that's the fight. I mean, that's why they're doing this, because they're leading up to that rematch. It's supposedly already signed for October. Bring Haney into the ring and do all that. But I do think he'll say some other names there at 147. I do want to ask about Ryan Garcia off PEDs. I mean, that's a big storyline here. I wonder how he'll look in terms of explosiveness and all that too.
Well, I mean, he was always explosive. So the speed was there. He showed crazy power when he was at 130. He was just so much bigger than everybody. But even at these weights, he's still so much bigger than everybody. He's grown so much. But he's still got the power. I mean, the speed, excuse me. The speed has not changed. Even when he was much heavier against Haney, coming in heavy, a lot of times when the guy's coming overweight, they didn't make weight. They sometimes are a little sluggish and slow. He was not at all. He was whipping left hooks in that first round. We were there, Dan. We both looked at each other. I was like, holy cow, that thing is fast. So if he has that speed and that snap, I don't think it's going to matter. I think he will be clean, but I still think he's still going to have that speed. And he's just fighting a much smaller guy. And a guy who's been chinned. It's not like where he's fighting a guy who is a tank, not a literal tank, not our tank, but like a literal tank, a guy with a crazy good beard. So it's a guy who's been knocked out. It's a guy who's been down a bunch of times. The guy who gets wobbled. So, yeah, I don't think it's going to matter.
Yeah, Ryan's going to come. He comes out every fight really aggressive in the first couple of rounds. So do some group betting. 1 through 4, if you can get that 1 through 3. That's some pretty good value there for
Rollies. Is aggressive too, though. They both come out fast. Rollies doesn't putt around.
I know. We're not really giving Rolly a shot, and the guy can, if he could do anything, he could punch.
Very aggressive. He's a very aggressive guy. He's physical. Yeah, he's a former.
And we've seen Ryan down early in fights.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
Rolly touches that chin, man.
Dude, there's a lot of similarities to Ryan and Oscar De La Hoya, his promoter, because Oscar went down early in fights a lot, too. Very fast starter, good left hook, good power, big for the weight class. A lot of similarities between him and his promoter, the Golden Boy. Ryan's susceptible, too. And Rolly's is a very unpredictable puncher. He's very athletic. He's very aggressive. He's very intuitive with the way he throws his punches. I don't even think he knows what he's throwing in terms of combinations at times. He's just firing off what's there because he's so reactive. I'd seen somewhere that he's a former judoko, like a judo athlete. You know, and you can see the way that he fights. He's very physical with his hands. He'll push your head around. He'll move you. He'll fire off that. He'll push your head down. He'll spin you and hit you. If he can do that with Ryan, he can make a fight out of it. I hope he does. I hope he does get aggressive and it'll make Ryan uncomfortable a little bit. So some of those questions that we were talking about before could be answered. What happens if Ryan gets pushed on his back foot? What happens if Ryan feels a little bit uncomfortable? What happens if Ryan gets hit on his chin? I don't know. We'll see.
I mean, we're acting like Ryan.
Far? I don't know.
We're acting like Ryan is like this unstoppable fighter, this unstoppable. We've seen him down. Like Luke Campbell dropped him. We've seen him down, vulnerable. Especially early. Rolly in rounds 1-6, +1600.
Oof.
Rolly to win in the rounds 1-6. Is that it's worth sprinkling some money on? Make this interesting. I think Ryan's going to win.
That's a big number, dude. That's a big
huge number.
It's a big huge number. And which makes like even like a small little bet being like, yeah, throw 100 on that. We'll see what happens.
Rolly by any
stranger
stoppage.
Things have happened.
Rolly by any type of stoppage is +800.
I don't see it. I think Ryan's going to mow him down. But if you wanted to make a crazy bet, that's probably another good one that we could do.
Yeah, I think Ryan will win inside of five. I think Rolly offers some resistance early, just because of the aggressiveness of Ryan. He's going to be searching for that KO like he always does, and that's when he gets himself into a little bit of trouble. And he's facing a hard puncher. Rolly can punch. Opted a little bit tank, but I mean, he can hit. He can punch. A lot of guys have said Rolly. The thing about Rolly is he can punch. Should be an outstanding card. Jim Lampley returns to the microphone. It'd be unbelievable to hear his voice and see him on a television screen for the first time since 2018, our former colleague at PPV.com. That is going to be nuts. I don't know who they're pairing him with because the normal DAZN team is in Saudi Arabia right now for Canelo and Skull. So who will be alongside Jim Lampley? Are there going to be some surprises? But I'm looking forward to the Lampley aspect of this. Here, bang, 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 a few more times.
The nostalgia, guys like me and you might actually have a tear coming down our eye when we listen to Jim Lampley.
A lot of our listeners too, man.
Yeah, true. A lot of our listeners are old school boxing heads. So I don't know. It's going to be awesome to hear Jim on the mic another time. Hopefully more than this won't be the last time, but very well maybe. You never know.
Yeah, you never know. It's right. I'm just happy to see him back because I know he wanted to do it, and it had to be a something big. And this is big. This is a big event. Times Square. I wonder how it's all going to play out. I'll be there in some capacity all week long, bringing you guys content. We'll be back with another episode. It's a really busy week. We have the Canelo and Inoue episode sometime later in the week, probably dropping on Friday. Chris, you're heading out to Vegas for that one. I technically am as well.
Inside Boxing Live in your face all week.
Yeah, a lot of content. Our Ben Eubank episode is out right now. Go check that out on YouTube. It's doing really well. And then Friday we'll have another episode with Inoue, who's facing Cardenas. Rafael Espinosa is in a really tough fight. Canelo with Skull. Munguia Saras 2. Efe Ajagba versus Bacoli. I mean, good gracious. This is fight weekend. Have we ever seen anything like this?
I'm jacked up. We got good fights 3 nights in a row. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, all across the world too. Guess what, guys? Boxing is a global sport and it's back, baby. Boxing season
has it's begun. Back, bro. It's like a fight weekend. It's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and big names. Like not the biggest matchups, but big names. Canelo, you're looking at Inoue. You're looking at Ryan Garcia, Teofimo, Haney. I mean, that's nuts. That's crazy. I hope everyone is
pretty
enjoying
cool. We're going to be in Vegas too, by the way. Like we're going to be in Vegas for
hasn't
Canelo.
Even crossed my mind.
Because you're going to be in New York City Friday night, then and you're going to be in Vegas on Friday.
That's the plan.
Watch
the plan.
Canelo fight.
Yeah.
Then
the plan right now is to be at all the events this week. Go to the fight Friday night in Times Square. Hop on a plane early Saturday morning, arrive in Vegas by afternoon, sit at the pool, hang out with you, Tessitore, Tim Bradley, whoever else is going to be out there, and then watch Inouye Sunday night from T-Mobile, and then fly home Monday, and then I fly out to Orlando Wednesday for Most Valuable Prospects card.
Yikes. Boxing
season. It's the life, bro. It's the life. The life. I enjoy it. I love it.
Not a bad gig. Not a bad gig at all. You got there, Dan.
Thank you.
Thanks
everyone that listens every single week. We're the best community in the world, and we'll be bringing you a lot more content this week. And as always, protect yourselves at all times. Keep your hands up at all times. Stay out of those DMs. We're out.
Spring break isn't what it used to be. It's better. This spring, stay 3 nights and get a $50 Best Western gift card. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Visit bestwestern.com for complete terms and conditions.